Welcome to the Rethink ELA podcast, hosted by English language arts teacher Michelle Waters. Prepare to receive strategies, products, and expert advice tailored to help teachers build social awareness, student agency, and voice in their ELA classrooms.
Welcome to Rethink ELA podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Waters, and I can't wait to share with you a way to enhance project-based learning in your English class. My guest this week is Sherry Gately. I rediscovered her in my Twitter feed recently when she responded to a video I posted asking what everyone is looking forward to this school year. She stated that she's excited about design thinking and design challenges at the end of all my units, kind of like an enhanced PBL. So excited. I was immediately intrigued and decided I needed to know more. Naturally, I did my research and discovered that she's an English teacher at Putnam City West High School in Oklahoma City and was named Teacher of the Year for that district, which means she's also a 2019 Oklahoma Teacher of the Year finalist. She also is a University of Oklahoma alumni, which is where I'm working on my master's degree, and she's a runner. Both those two facts earn points in my book. As a teacher, I work to incorporate PBL into my English classes, but I know I can do better, and I want my students to benefit even more from investing in their own learning. I think Sherry's ideas will help us all take our students beyond what they thought they could do. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Students need to write on a daily basis in order to build their writing confidence and stamina. But how do you work this in with all the other skills and concepts you're required to teach? Rethink ELA has the answer for you. In just 5 to 20 minutes a day, you can provide narrative, informative, argumentative, and reflective writing practice with student-centered daily quick writes. Learn more at rethinkela.com/180. That's rethinkela.com/180. Welcome back to the Rethink ELA podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Waters, and I'm here today with Sherry Gately. She is the current Putnam City School District Teacher of the Year, and I just wanted to say congratulations, and I'm happy to have you here.
Thanks so much. I'm happy to be here.
As I mentioned in the introduction I recorded, you were on Twitter and I saw you talking about design thinking and design challenges, and that just intrigued me. And I'm always wanting to take my project-based learning up a few notches and really just help students own their learning. And so I was wondering if you could tell us about that. And to start out with, for those of us who are, you know, brand new to some of these concepts, what is project-based learning and how does it look in your English classroom?
Okay, so project-based learning is basically students learning the skills that they need in an ELA class through solving real-world problems or exploring real-world problems. So one example in my class, what I did this last year, I teach AP language. So AP language is all about rhetoric. My students would research marketing campaigns over a topic of their choice, just to understand the different types of appeals, emotional appeals, ethical appeals, logical appeals. And then they would create their own marketing campaign over that same topic once they had researched kind of the historical perspective of that topic. So it's just one way I've used project-based learning in my classroom, but it's really kind of taking real-world things and applying those to the content in an English class.
So instead of just reading a textbook and answering some questions or doing a worksheet, they're actually completing real tasks for real audiences, stuff that they might find themselves doing at a job out in the quote-unquote real world.
Yes, absolutely.
So. Kind of like I used to do in the newspaper stuff. We would create a newspaper,
there you go.
Publish it every month, and I'm thinking, hey, this is the kind of stuff that kids need to be doing in their English classes too. I am right there with you. So taking this up a next step, what is design thinking and how does that benefit your students in this context?
Oh, man. Okay, so design thinking, it's not that much different from project-based learning. There's just some different steps to the process. So like the first thing that you do with design thinking is you start with what's called an empathy interview. Because now instead of just designing something, you have to design with a particular person in mind. So it kind of takes my thoughts out of it, and I really have to understand the needs of somebody else, which I think that in and of itself is huge, because kids learning empathy through understanding the perspective and the needs and the desires of another person is huge for just being wonderful citizens later in life. So that's a little bit of what's different with design thinking. There's also more of a collaborative process and brainstorming, and kind of working through the different ideas and kind of then relating it back to what the person needed that you interviewed at the beginning. And then you even prototype and you create something. And so it's a little bit different just because there's a few more steps involved, but it really is, I believe, just taking project-based learning up a few notches.
Absolutely. And I love the idea of the students interviewing each other. This, again, is something that I did in a newspaper class because, you know, you would have to go interview the kid that won an award or that scored the touchdown. And not only did you have to get to know different kids, but you had to think of questions ahead of time and kind of plan where you were going to go. And, you know, then sometimes somebody would say something completely off the wall and you'd have to plan different questions right there on the fly. And it really required a lot of critical thinking. And yes, then, like you said, empathy. In my classes, I do quick writes and have the kids share those with each other, which I think helps build some empathy. But I can see how this could totally take that process 10 steps forward.
Well, and I think you probably know, too, in English, a lot of times we talk about some very controversial topics.
Yes.
And so being able to use that empathy piece to think about another person and another perspective kind of takes some of those heated moments away a little bit.
So this could be kind of a twist on think, pair, share. Instead of me just turning to you and telling you what I think, I turn to you and say, what do you think? And then you tell me, and then I ask some more questions so that I can understand what you think. And then I share with the class what my partner thinks. That way the partner is not the one that's trying to explain their own thinking. They've got that all out of their, they've already done that, you know, with that one person instead of trying to do it in front of the entire class.
Yes, absolutely.
I love that idea. The wheels are turning. You also mentioned design challenges. What are those and how do you incorporate them?
So really design challenge is basically the project. So it's okay, just a different way to talk about the project that we're producing. So for example, I start my classes in thematic units. AP language kind of lends itself very easily to working with different thematic units throughout the course of the year. So the very first one that I do, because it's easy, it's not super controversial, is a unit on education. Mm-hmm. And so at the end of that unit, the design challenge is redesign the high school experience. Oh. And so then they have to go interview their classmates and interview underclassmen or seniors and kind of get this idea of how can we take what these students want in a high school experience and recreate it.
I love that.
So
idea.
Similar to a project, but we call them design challenges. Just, I think the rhetoric in and of itself kind of changes what I'm doing.
And I can see kids even interviewing the school counselor or the mm-hmm. principal. So not only yes. are they just talking to other kids, but they're also talking to, you know, people in charge. That can be kind of scary sometimes.
Yes.
Maybe talking to their parents or their friends' parents and maybe, you know, community members too, to get right. additional perspectives. I love that idea.
Yes, absolutely.
So this sounds like it can really help kids with, you know, their communication, their critical thinking, those four things that we need students mm-hmm. to be able to learn how to do for 21st century learning.
Right.
So where or how did you discover design thinking and design challenges?
So our librarian, Jill Slay, she is a member of A-plus schools. And she had a colleague there who had been to this training at Stanford University and came back and she implemented design thinking into just one of her classes. And then that became so popular in her school that they're now at 2 full-time teachers teaching design thinking all day long. And so her and I had been talking and I had been frustrated. I feel like students are more and more apathetic right now about their own education, and really trying to do more project-based learning to try to increase student engagement. She found out about this professional development at Stanford and told me about it and said, let's go together. I think this would be something that you would love. So we applied for it, thinking we would not get accepted. And sure enough, we got accepted and got to go learn at Stanford for a couple of days. And it was absolutely incredible.
It sounds like it. I would love to do that.
Yes. And I got to feel really smart being at Stanford University for a few days.
You tell people that and they're like, wow, you must be really, which I'm sure you are anyway, but takes it up another notch again.
Yes.
So having gone to Stanford and learned about design thinking and challenges, you come back, what kind of results do you want to see in your classes as you incorporate these?
I'm really hoping to see more student engagement. Mm-hmm. Like I said just a minute ago, I don't know if we're just really seeing the full ramifications of kids growing up in a standardized test era, but there's so much apathy. And I saw that so much, especially with my juniors this last year.
Yes.
They were kind of the group in Oklahoma that's been the guinea pig for state testing.
Yep.
They've had all the changes, all the additions and subtractions and additions again. And so I wanted to do something where they would find relevance and real world connection and kind of get some more buy-in. When people at Stanford are saying they're seeing this same apathy at the college level. So they have this whole school designed to provide students with design challenges to kind of take back to their own fields. We know that there's a problem. Yeah. So that I'm hoping to see more student engagement.
Absolutely. One of the things that I've noticed, kind of like what you're talking about, is students will get excited about a topic like, hey, we should be able to have off-campus lunch, which at my school, we don't. So I say, okay, well, let's do some research. Let's find out why. Let's get some things written down. Let's, you know, create a speech. We can go before the school board. We can talk to the principal. And somewhere along the way, they just kind of fizzle. And I want to be able to take them beyond what they think they can do and help them maintain that passion and that excitement for whatever it is that they are working towards.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that these are the types of things they're going to have to do when they do enter the workforce, regardless of if they're going a career tech route or the college route. They're going to have to come up with ideas and propose those ideas. And so I think that this is just a huge way to help prepare them for that.
Absolutely. This summer, I went to Vegas with my husband and his company. He was going to some training. And as part of that, the directors, at the headquarters of this large nationwide company, took all of us out to dinner at Lombardi's, which was really good. But anyway, so we're sitting there, these guys that are, you know, higher level directors in this communications corporation are talking about the future of the company. And I'm just sitting there with my mouth shut, you know, talking to the one other wife that's over there occasionally, but listening. And one of the things they said is that they need their employees not only to be able and willing to learn new things, but to be able to, you know, come up with ideas and implement ideas. And that's exactly what we're trying to teach students to do. And they are struggling with people that, you know, are either nearing retirement or just coming in or somewhere in the middle who are just on one track and don't want to get out. And people need, and students need to learn how to do that.
Yes, for sure.
And again, this is a communications company, but these are people that are like in engineering and, you know, mechanical and mathematical, scientific type fields in this portion of the company. So it's not like they're the writers or the
right.
And, you know, my husband brought home this book, this manual that he was studying during this 1 week training. And it was, you know, 1.5, 2 inches thick, had little tests at the end of each chapter. And he had gone through all of this, you know, 8 hours a day. And then, you know, went to dinner and listened to them, you know, talk about the future of the company. And kids, I want my kids to be able to be a part of these kinds of things. I want them to be designing and creating their own challenges and solving their problems and not just sitting back, letting somebody else tell them what to do.
Absolutely. That's incredibly important.
So I'm thinking about how can this look in my class? I'm thinking about the marketing project you were talking about. And I'm kind of wondering, you know, as you're implementing these changes, what challenges do you foresee that you and your students will need to overcome as you're trying to kind of turn the boat around, so to speak?
Yeah, so that's kind of multifaceted. So the biggest challenge for my own students is that there's not a right answer.
Yes.
and having grown up in a world that they choose between A, B, C, and D, right, that's difficult for some students. They want me to tell them that what they're doing is correct. And so that's hard. And for me, the hard part is, how do I assign a grade to this?
Yes.
Which that's kind of a soapbox that I won't get on anyways. But how do I assess something that they are creating? How do I say if it's good or bad, and or if it meets the standard? So that's the challenge that I have to overcome. And then the challenge that students have to overcome is just getting rid of this desire to have a right answer all the time.
Absolutely. And going back to your challenge, I might have an answer to that, or something, a place to start, instead of
yes,
you sitting there saying, okay, you get an A, B, C, or D, or what have you. You ask the students to evaluate themselves, give themselves that grade, have them evaluate it. You look at it. Chances are you're going to say, okay, this kid gave themselves a B, and their justification for that B matches up. Okay, you got yourself a B. Or, you know, you might look at it and say, you know, this child gave themselves a C and they did A work. What in the world is wrong? I've got to talk to this kid, and we're going to get ourselves on the same page. Occasionally, I've only had this happen once or twice. A kid will say, oh, yeah, I got an A because I showed up. That's when you call them over and say, really? And they say, okay, yeah, never mind. And then I tell them, okay, you want that A? This is what you need to do to get the A. Go get your A.
Yes, I love the idea of self-assessment. Even thinking about, I think the person who does the editing is the person who does the learning, and that concept kind of rolls over to self-assessment for sure.
Exactly.
I like that.
Exactly. And I use Google Forms, so I just have a spreadsheet at the end of it where I just look and see what the kids gave themselves, and their justification is right next to it. I just look it over. If I have a question, I just call the kid over right there. We talk about it. They solve the problem, or I change my mind, either way. And then there, I've got my grades.
I love that. And it's less paper for me to take
home. Yes, yes. You can have a life and enjoy your family and things like that. So, okay, I'm wanting to incorporate this into my class this year. What advice do you have for me and my other teachers?
I would say start small. Don't try to just jump in feet first and do everything, because then I don't think you do it well.
Absolutely.
Find one aspect and implement that. And once you get the hang of that, then start the next aspect and implement that. And I think the other thing is be patient with it.
Yeah.
As much as I think there were going to be some students that are going to buy in immediately, they're not all going to. This is a totally different way for them to learn. And some are going to be resistant and hesitant to that at the beginning. But just keep going. Constantly reflect. But start small and work your way in.
Absolutely. And I'd add, be patient with your, like you said, be patient with the kids, be patient with yourself. And I'm thinking a lot of empathy will go a long way. You know, the kid is gnashing their teeth because they don't get this. Hey, I am right there with you. I'm brand new to this too. Let's go cry in the corner together for a moment, and then let's get out here and solve the problem. Let's make this happen.
Yes. I think that's so important, is actually being honest that the process is new for me too. Let's do this together. I love
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. And you had mentioned picking, you know, just one aspect to change. Mm-hmm. What's that one aspect you're going to start out with in your class?
I think empathy interviews. I think that's a great way to start. I'm really comfortable with project-based learning. So now taking that up a notch, I think empathy interviews are the best way to start. So learning how to communicate, learning how to ask questions, learning how to build questions off of the answers of the previous questions.
And starting with speaking with the kid, which the kids love to do anyway, is perfect.
Yes, they do like to hear themselves talk. So, especially AP kids.
Oh yes, oh yes. They have a lot to say. I'm new to this. I've got some great ideas going here. Thank you so much.
Yes.
What resources can I turn to in order to learn more as I'm growing in this and as I'm learning more about my students and what they need as part of this process?
Yeah, for sure. I would definitely start with exploring Stanford's Design School website. They have a lot of YouTube videos from their creators, and they work with all different types of people, not just educators. They work with business people as well. And I think that is a great place to start. And so that's what I would do. I would also say if anybody has questions, they can find me on Twitter and we can collaborate through email. I love collaborating through Google Docs or anything like that. I think that's a great opportunity to work with teachers from across the country and work through some of those ideas. Because sometimes we just need another person who teaches the same thing that I do to kind of help me talk through some of the things that I'm doing.
Absolutely. And I'm probably going to take you up on that offer because I definitely want to
get
started with this. I'm very excited about it. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
I would just say, don't be afraid to take risks in your classroom. I really kind of, like I said, a couple years ago, was frustrated, and that has turned into me really redesigning my entire approach to teaching.
Absolutely.
And because of that, I feel like I have students who are more engaged. I've been able to grow our AP program, and I think that's just because I'm not afraid to take risks. So I would just say, don't be afraid to try new things. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work, but don't ever get comfortable, because that's how you lose kids.
Absolutely. And I'd like to add too that, you know, when you're trying these new things and you're taking these risks and something just completely flops, admit it, say, well, that didn't work.
Yes.
And then ask the kids. It's amazing what the kids can tell you and how they can kind of solve problems sometimes. And you're just sitting there thinking, why did I not think that? You know, I'm the one that has, I'm
Absolutely.
The one standing here as the teacher. Well, you know what? The kids, they know too. We have to trust and respect the kids and bring them in as
Yes.
partners.
And I think when you do that, they buy
Absolutely.
In.
Bring them in as partners. And then suddenly it's not just about me. It's about them as well.
For sure.
Yes. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Yes. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Encourage your high school students to share their stories, discuss building a representative society, and develop their writing skills. With this set of 15 highly engaging lesson plans, you can mix and match to meet your students' needs. Download this unit at rethinkela.com/SJWP.